Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here for another day of Fire on the Earth, and it's my great joy to welcome my pastor, Father Ed Friede. He's the pastor of Christ the King Parish here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, in the Diocese of Lansing, and he's not only been a wonderful pastor, but a good friend for many years. And we began the week yesterday with Father Ed's testimony. We're going to continue again today. We want to get into some more subject matter, but inspiring stuff as this week goes along, that Father Ed's had many experiences that I think will inspire you and to see how close the Lord wants to be in each and every one of our lives. Welcome, Father.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good to have you back. So we left off yesterday just after you left the Congregational Church, right, so to speak.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
If you want to, do you want to just mention quickly that story and then pick up from there?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I was in the church by myself and I had this amazing experience of prayer where I gave my life to Jesus. I experienced his love in just this concrete way that the analogy I use is kind of like if you're the North Pole freezing to death in a blizzard and somebody picks you up and throws you into a jacuzzi. It was just like this amazing aha moment of his love. And then I just simply said, I've been reading about the Holy Spirit. Be glad to take anything you want to give. And this benevolent lightning bolt came into the room and just deep fried me. It was kind of amazing. So I'm sitting there just kind of astonished because I didn't expect anything to happen. And then this happens. And so I think, well, I'm just going to pray the Lord's Prayer and get out of here. Well, I still have my skin, and I get as far as Our Father, and then started praying in tongues, which was not at all what I expected to happen. I mean, read about it, but reading about it and actually having it happen to you, totally different thing. Anyway, so the next day, Good Friday, I go to the minister of my church, and I say, well, this happened to me. What do you think? And he's quiet for a long time. He says, well, it's biblical, but it's not really consistent with what we do in this church. So really, that kind of experience really wouldn't be welcome here. And I thank him for his candor and say goodbye. So the next day I get up and I say to Jesus, well, I seem to have found you and lost my church. So if you all have a church, please find me one. Amen. Nanosecond, I say amen. My phone rings and it's a buddy from high school. He says, how'd you like to go to church with me today? Well, that was the fastest answer to prayer I've ever experienced. And I said, sure. Well, church for him that day was the Easter Vigil Mass. And so I went to the Easter Vigil Mass at Holy Rosary Cathedral in Duluth, my hometown. And at that point, probably five of the Minnesota bishops were actively involved in charismatic renewal, including the Bishop of Duluth. And in his homily at the Easter Vigil, he goes on to talk about what does it mean to encounter Jesus? What does it mean to be experience the presence and the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and describes in detail what I'd just been through. Well, I thought, well, I guess it might not be in the church that I grew up in, but these Catholics sure seem to have a handle on this, you know. So one of my friends, the one who invited me, forgot to tell me not to go to communion, which he just assumed that I wouldn't, like I would somehow know that. But anyway, and at one point, I didn't know I was going to communion because I just got up and followed everybody out because I thought it was over, you know. So, because it's been going on for a long time at that point, you know, the Easter Vigil is a lengthy service.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the interesting thing happened that I realized that we're going forward, we're not going toward the door. But every step I took toward the altar, Jesus made it more perfectly clear that this was actually him, which was very, very different than the whole theology of the communion I grew up with, which we had like maybe once a month or something like that. And I remember the minister actually saying once, remember, we're not like the Catholics. We don't believe anything happens. So all I knew was that the Catholics thought that something happened. But as I'm walking forward, it's really clear that this is really Jesus. And so I'm in the bishop's line, of course, and I receive him. And it's just like his love just floods my heart again. So I go back and now, I don't recommend that people who are not Catholic go to communion. I'm just saying that on the front end. I did it because I didn't know any better, okay?
Yeah.
But I went back and I sat down and I just said, well, Jesus, this seems pretty nice. What do you think? Which was a rhetorical question. I wasn't expecting a response, but Jesus said in a crystal clear voice, you're home.
Mm.
So Easter Monday, I called up this great Irish priest who I'd met before through some of my friends and told him, I want to be Catholic. What do I have to do? He said, well, no, Edward, you got to come and talk to me now, you know. So so I met with him. Yeah. Of course, this is long before the RCIA restarted. And so this meant he gives me this rinky-dink little catechism. It's like 80 pages long. It was like Dick and Jane meet Jesus. I mean, there was like nothing to it. And then he said, you have to come and meet me, talk with me 10 times, and we'll see how things go. So I read the whole book, and the second time I'm going to him, I said, well, can I become Catholic now because I read all this stuff? No, no, you still have to come back. Well, these experiences happened over Easter break. And when I went back to high school, my first experience of Jesus' sense of humor was I wanted to be a good student. I liked being a good student. I had 8 academic classes. I had tons and tons of homework because at my high school, the teachers kind of used Easter break as kind of the catch-up because you're getting close to the end of the year. So I had papers and tests and projects and all these things to do the Monday after Easter. And I'm sitting in my bedroom looking at the stack of books, just kind of paralyzed with what am I going to do because I don't like showing up not prepared. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I had this sense of Jesus saying to me, go look out the window. So I went up and I went to the window and I looked up. And the nice thing about being in Duluth, it's freezing cold, and so the stars are always really bright and beautiful. So I looked up and I see this is a gorgeous, blazing Milky Way crossing the heavens. And Jesus says, I made that. Relax. And so I thought, well, that means that tomorrow is going to be a huge lesson in humility as I get womped on from class to class to class because I'm not ready for anything. So anyway, so I thought, well, okay, I could really use a lot of humility because I'm kind of a proud brat anyway, so this can't be a bad idea. So I go, and then the first class I go to, teacher's not there, so the test is canceled. Second class I go to, teacher has a guest speaker, so the test was canceled. Third class I go to, teacher says, I didn't really give you long enough to do your projects, so the projects are canceled. So every class I had of all those 8 classes, everything that was due was canceled. Until the last Prater Day when I'm supposed to have this big test, I walk into the classroom before the teacher gets there and they say, no test today. And then the teacher walks in and says, no test today. People, how did you know? And he says, well, it's just kind of a trend, you know. So, but it was like this kind of amazing experience of Jesus just taking care of me and as I surrendered to him. Of course, my parents were on a vacation during this whole time. And they come back and they're met at the front door by the babysitter who says, oh, guess what? Your oldest son's become a Jesus freak. And my mom was like, oh, that's okay. I want to be a Buddhist next week. And my dad was, well, I don't care what kind of freak he is as long as he does his homework, you know. So they were not particularly impressed with the whole thing. Hmm. And it would have been just kind of, you know, nondiscreet at that point until I told them I was going to become Catholic. And they both had a very strongly negative response to that, which was really a surprise to me because they had lots of Catholic friends and Dad had Catholic partners in his law firm, et cetera, et cetera. But there was just this kind of feeling that they didn't want that to happen, you know. So I'm seeing Father Walsh every week and learning more and more about the church. And one Sunday, I'm getting ready to go to Mass, and my parents call me into the bedroom, and my mom says, do you know what the commandments are? And I said, well, with help, I could probably come up with 4 or 5. And mom says, great, let me help you. Honor your father and mother. We forbid you from becoming Catholic.
Wow.
So I'm on my way to Mass, and I say to Jesus, well, what am I supposed to do? These are not the 10 suggestions.
You know? Yeah.
And Jesus just says, you know, listen to the gospel today. But the gospel that Sunday was, he who doesn't turn away from his parents for my sake is not worthy of being my disciple. So it was like just these ongoing little gentle ways that he would continue to kind of guide me and guide me. It was just really amazing. So at one point, you know, it's a 10th meeting. We've had all sorts of amazing debates. Because when my friends in the school found out that I was going to become Catholic, my evangelical Protestant friends were really excited that I met Jesus, kind of iffy about this whole charismatic thing and horrified that I was becoming Catholic. My Pentecostal friends were really excited that I met Jesus, really excited that I was speaking in tongues, horrified that I was becoming Catholic. And my Catholic friends couldn't imagine why anybody would want to become Catholic. So it was kind of unanimous, you know. So,
wow. Yeah.
But, I continued. And then the last meeting, he sticks a piece of paper in front of me and it says, you know, I agree with everything the Catholic Church teaches, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, well, now, Edward, sign it and you're a Roman Catholic. And so I signed it, and I was a Roman Catholic after that point. So then he says, and now you're going to make your first confession. That was my prep for my first confession. Now you're going to make your first confession. So
he was old school.
Oh, very.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit traumatic, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so at that point, the thing I think that scared my parents the most was the moment I gave my life to Jesus, my desire to be a theoretical nuclear physicist was just gone. I had no idea what I wanted to do, but I knew it was something other than that. And so they kind of insisted that I go to the University of Minnesota, majoring in physics anyway, because that had been the plan. So I went and joined every Christian group on campus because I was so hungry. Joined the Navigators and InterVarsity and Campus Crusade and Chi Alpha. I was going to prayer meetings and Christian stuff. All that. It was a miracle I didn't flunk out that first quarter because I'm taking calculus and all these classes, you know. But I'm going to daily mass at the Newman Center and meet this girl. And we're the only ones that would generally go down to the cafeteria and have lunch after the mass. And we're sitting far apart and then closer and closer. And finally, I don't remember who sat on whose table first, but then we started to talk. And we just got crazy in love. You know, by the end of the semester, I was going to propose to her. Because we just were so compatible, and it was just a wonderful thing. She had a deeper experience with Jesus, she got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the whole nine yards, so it was pretty amazing. So we're going to, I was going to propose to her, but her dad was a judge, and his dad was going to say, how are you going to support my daughter? And I was going to say, I don't have a clue. So yeah. That was not going to work well. Yeah.
So she now that I'm a dad and a grandpa, I understand that.
Exactly. Anyway, I'm having... We're all kind of set up to do that. And then one day I'm in my dorm room praying, and I come across Matthew 19:12, which says, there's someone who remains single for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And it was like Jesus just underlined that verse. And over the next couple of weeks, I had several different friends from different groups come up and say, you know what, I was praying for you, and I got this really strange verse. And I think Jesus wants you to go look, and let me guess, Matthew 19:12, right? And after the fifth person does it, I decide, well, maybe I better spend some time and pray about this. So I went on a retreat, and on this retreat I said to Jesus, well, what have you done? You made me Catholic, you gave me great love for the Eucharist, a desire to preach, a desire to serve you full time, if you're also calling me to be single, is that priesthood? So I said, Jesus, I'll make a deal. I'm going to open up my Bible, stab down my finger, if it lands on the word priest, I'll consider it. Don't do this, it's called Bible bingo, it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I did, and I landed on Psalm 110 verse 4, the Lord has sworn an oath, and will not change his mind, you're a priest forever. So I closed the Bible, said to Jesus, well, accidents will happen if it happens again. So this time I opened up my Bible, stabbed on my finger in Hebrews 7:21, which says, and the Lord has sworn an oath and will not change his mind. Hebrews quoting Psalm 10. So at that point, I knew priesthood was what he had in mind. So then I had to tell my girlfriend. And when I tell her, she bursts out laughing because she says, well, I was afraid to tell you, but I think Jesus wants me to be a nun.
Did she become one?
She was for a while, yeah.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, we had a marriage not made in heaven, shall we say.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. That's amazing. What did your parents think as you, when did that emerge? We just have less than a minute.
Sure.
I'm curious to say, yeah. When did that hit their ears, so to speak?
It would have been like, I went into the seminary my second semester, my freshman year. And if they weren't wild about me becoming Catholic, let's just say they were less wild about me becoming a priest.
How about that? Yeah. Yeah. What a journey. There's probably a whole show we could just talk about the journey with your mom and dad through thing, since they were congregationalists,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
In different ways. But really, thank you for sharing that. And I know there's a whole lot more to the story. Father Ed's going to be back with us tomorrow, friends. Not only talking about other dimensions of his own personal story, but what we've experienced in our parish at Ann Arbor at Christ the King, and really talking about what the Spirit is saying to the church at this time too, to all of us, that's something for each and every one of us. But until tomorrow, this is Peter Herbeck and Father Ed Friede, pastor of Christ the King Parish in Ann Arbor, welcoming the Holy Spirit and praying for you. Have a blessed day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.